listening to Raising Perdition, a Supernatural Rewatch podcast. This podcast is for anyone who wants more Supernatural content or anyone just starting the show. I'm Beth Brin.
I'm Hannah Barrow.
And I'm Abby Jo Morton.
And we're your hosts. Let's jump in.
Raising Perdition is intended for adult audiences, and our episodes may contain PG-13 and R-rated language. We advise listener discretion for discussions of violence, sexual assault, eating disorders, and other topics some listeners may find disturbing. We want to empower you, our audience, with the knowledge you need to make healthy decisions about how and if you should consume this podcast content.
Welcome back. You're listening to Raising Perdition. I'm one of your hosts, Beth. I'm here with my co-hosts, Hannah and Abby Jo. How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Today we have a very special guest. We have KJ. Hello, KJ.
I'm so excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. If you would like, could you introduce yourself? Because you've never been on Raising Perdition before.
Which is the most wild thing, I think, that we've gotten through most of season 4. I haven't been here.
Yeah.
Insane. I'm KJ. I host another Supernatural podcast, Supernatural Opinions. We're also covering season 4, I guess. Technically season 3, but recording wise we're on season 4.
Probably 4 when this posts. Yeah.
We'll have made it finally. I've been watching Supernatural since I was in high school, so like 8 years, I guess, but wasn't involved in fandom until the end of the show. Basically, I was re-watching the show when the last season was airing. I hadn't watched the last 2 seasons because I rage quit during season 13. I finished the show and was like, I feel like I need to talk about this for 400 hours. And here I am.
It's so relatable to me personally and to Hannah.
Yeah. I spent 2 days like thinking up what I wanted the podcast to look like, what some like discussion episodes would be, what some like recap episodes would be. My friends were just starting. I think the week that I finished Supernatural, my friends were starting Supernatural and they were like, we can't do a podcast with you about this. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go on TikTok, find some new friends and make a podcast.
I'll just find new friends. It's fine.
That's okay. I'll just acquire more for that specific purpose. And that's totally worked.
You did. You did.
Yeah, you did do that. Great. Well, we're really, really happy to have you here. Today, we are talking about episode 21 of season 4, When the Levee Breaks. This episode was directed by Robert Singer and written by Sarah Gamble. Robert Singer is one of the executive producers. He's around for the entire duration of the show. He wrote some episodes. One of them was Sin City that we saw in season 3, but he usually directs. He did... most recently, Chris Angel is a Douchebag and Wishful Thinking and Monster Movie. And Sarah Gamble is going to become one of our future showrunners for seasons 6 and 7. And the last thing we saw from her was It's a Terrible Life, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Are You There, God? It's Me, Dean Winchester. So
Abby already hates Sarah Gamble.
Yeah. It's like a love hate. Like some of her episodes really are. I just like they give me so many brain worms. And she is there's a Sarah Gamble long con that the pod squad recognizes.
It was in one of the 2 episodes we released today that Abby's like that bitch.
Abby, no. Like you just like have heard I us know talk about her and you're like, I hate her.
If there's one thing about me, I give in to peer pressure.
There's one specific thing that Sarah Gamble fought for that the network wouldn't let her do that I'm not gonna get into details on, but she does have my permanent respect for it. It's a small amount of respect, but it is there.
I get that.
So that's
who did our episode.
Cool. And this episode does not have a timeline. We're just vibing with no idea what's going on.
I'm so shocked.
We can still be pretty sure it's been about a year since Cassiel took Jimmy's vessel, but that's it. And then it takes place technically in 4 places, but I would only say in 2. Sioux Falls, South Dakota, of course, at Bobby's house. And then we hop to Jamestown, North Dakota for Sam to abandon a car. And then we hop to Elk River, Minnesota for Sam to abandon a car. And then Sam ends up in Cold Spring, Minnesota. So that's where those are the 2 places, Sioux Falls and Cold Spring. But he does abandon his cars. So Sam is still locked in Bobby's panic room to detox from the demon blood. That's where we left off. in our previous episode. Bobby sees that more seals are being broken and wants Dean to let Sam out, but Dean says no, and he goes to Castiel for help, signing himself up for Team Heaven. After that very conversation, Castiel lets Sam out of the panic room, and Sam meets up with Ruby, getting him some demon blood and getting ready to go find Lilith with her. Also, Anna finds Cass, and that's a trap for her, and some angels take her. Dean finds Sam, and they have a big old brother brawl. Sam nearly kills Dean, and then he says Dean has never known him, and Dean tells him he shouldn't come back if he leaves. Very John-coded of him. And Sam leaves anyway.
I forgot so many things about this episode. Like, genuinely, mm-hmm. so many things happened in this episode. I'm like, oh, that was this episode?
I was morphing it with the finale. Like, there were certain things I was like, oh, I did not know this happened yet.
There was one point I was like, wait, how much time is left in this episode? And it was only 8 minutes. And I was like, okay, so that's the next episode. That must be the next one.
But there was definitely characters in this episode that I didn't remember were in this episode.
Oh, and, I mean, this is the penultimate.
It is the penultimate. I have to
get
episode.
That out there.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
All right. Let's do our favorite moments.
These are our favorite moments of this supernatural episode. Our favorite moments. We're telling you now.
I'll go first. I am going to say my favorite part is after Cass and Dean have the conversation and Dean's like, okay, I give myself over to heaven or whatever. Dean's like, okay, now what? And Cass says, now you wait and we call you when it's time. And then they just stare into each other's eyes for several seconds and we just watch it. We're just like, yeah.
I timed it because of course I did. It's almost 15 seconds long.
That's so long.
So they do it, and then at about 11 seconds, Dean does break the eye contact, mm-hmm. but they're still so close to each other. And then it's like, and then it's right at 14, like when the scene cuts.
Yeah. I mean, 11 seconds of them staring into each other's eyes before Dean breaks yes. away.
As someone who is uncomfortable with eye contact, that is so funny.
It's so funny. When it ended, I was like,
in each other's face, too.
Yeah.
Like, they could, they're so,
literally,
they're like not even a foot apart from each other.
No, they're so close. Uncomfortable.
If not gay, then why?
Why? Literally, why? It's so funny to me, though, because it's like, are we intruding? Like, we're just watching them for 11
the way
seconds.
The way the camera really slowly like, backs out, it's like we're literally, like, leaving the scene.
No, it's so gay. It's so gay.
The gays are eye-fucking again. We gotta back out here.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
No. I literally put in my notes, why is this so sexually charged? Like, there was so much tension in that like time. It was so
it's so funny.
Oh my god. That was my favorite moment too.
I thought for sure with Cass in the episode you would have found several. You would have had a plethora of favorite moments to choose from.
It just I zeroed in on it so hard because it's so wild.
Man.
I guess my other favorite moment is just that Cass looks so pretty the entire episode.
I was really struck. I was like, I don't know if it's just like been too long since I watched an episode that had Cass in it or like mm-hmm. what, but I was like, whoa, look at this man.
Right, like the way the light shines
did
on
he
his
always
face.
Look like that.
He did.
He also looks so sad and just distraught.
He looks tortured
is the word.
Yeah,
and I put that in my notes too. He looks like he has like literal torment going on in his head.
Yeah, every single thing he's doing is like against his will.
You're getting it, Abby.
I am.
You're
getting it. I'm getting there. Hey, Jay, do you want to say your favorite moment?
Yeah. Actually, I think I have a great moment. It was a really hard pick, but I have a very, very different vibe, but also like a long eye contact scene, and that is Sam holding Bobby's gun to his chest while they stare each other down.
I hate that scene.
So sad, but it's Sam at his like good. Most manipulative, and that is how I like my Sam.
Yeah, he is very manipulative in this episode.
I feel like, okay, maybe people don't know me. Like, maybe, like, people have, like, genuinely, like, never listened to any of the, like, crossover shit that we've done in the past and, like, don't know me. I have, like, a hardcore Sam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is why you're here.
As someone who's Sam-coded, I love that. but as someone who is not a fan of Sam right now, I don't like that.
KJ, we've like been hyping you up, being like, listen,
I'm so glad.
We've been like, because we've been really hard on Sam.
So hard.
Especially Abby.
Yeah. Especially Abby. And so we've been like, don't worry, our like Sam negativity will be balanced out when KJ is on the pod.
I think it's 416, whatever episode it is that we like find out about the demon blood. We have a discussion episode scheduled, and like the discussion episode is titled like "In Defense of Sam Winchester," and I'm just gonna be me, like, this is why Sam's doing what he's doing.
I love
and
that.
And I love that for you.
And why he's done all the other bad things, because like we can talk about
someone has to do
that
it.
Have happened.
Someone has to say that.
Has to, and it's not gonna be me.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm glad that it's you.
Honestly, some of these choices are hard to fucking defend. I get it. Like, Sam's made some questionable choices.
I obviously also don't know, like, a full picture. I'm working with, like, scene by scene.
What they want you to think. What they want you to think.
So.
They're like, hey, Sam sucks. And you're like, you know what? He does.
Yeah, he does. You're right. Again. I can be pressured into believing anything. So
you believe it. If they said so,
yeah.
Who are you to question it?
Who am I? Yeah. My favorite moment is way less serious. And it's just whenever Rufus calls Bobby and he says, suck dirt and die.
Suck dirt and die.
Suck dirt and die, Rufus.
So funny.
He's like, what happened?
He's just like, what's going on with Rufus? And he's like, Rufus knows.
Rufus knows.
Can I have an honorable mention? Because I feel like I really need an honorable mention to be, like, more silly and goofy. But my honorable mention, like, backup pick is Cass lurking under Bobby's stairs.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
That's what I'm always afraid of, going up basement stairs. Is there somebody standing behind them like Cass?
I mean, you would hope it's Cass.
Right, if it's got to be anybody, yeah.
That's the best case scenario of somebody lurking under your stairs.
Okay, so, like I said, Sam is in the panic room, and Dean is outside the door. And Sam's like, let me out. And Dean's like, no. And Sam's annoyed that Dean is making it seem like he's quote unquote some junkie. He's like, I'm not an addict, Dean. And Dean's like, hey, buddy, you're the definition of an addict right now. Like,
yeah.
Not to be mean, but that's what you're being. Dean like points out how Sam's been strung out on the demon blood. And Sam's like, I've not been drinking it just for fun, Dean. I'm doing it to kill Lilith. And Dean's like, sure. And Sam's like, did you forget about her while you were busy being self-righteous? It's like, hey, Sam, you're not making a good case for yourself not being an addict right now. And Dean's like, oh yeah, Lilith is going to die, but me and Bobby are going to kill her. You're not going to do anything. And Sam's like, Dean says it, right? Congratulations. Yeah. You just got yourself a bench warmer seat to the apocalypse. And then Dean walks away and Sam screams at him and he's like, let me out. And Dean just keeps walking. He's like, not doing that. Sorry, buddy.
No.
Yeah.
This scene, first of all, the lighting is so very interesting.
So good.
Dean is in a white light and Sam is illuminated by red, which is kind of his color, but also like, you know.
Red lighting just does something a little extra. Like, it honestly doesn't even matter who you throw in the red lighting, and this show knows it, and they're not afraid to use it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's kind of demon-y. You know, he's struggling with that demon blood, so the fact that he's illuminated by red is...
My only note for the whole scene was Sam's hands in the red lighting trying to open the door. That's it. That's all I wrote.
Then I also think that it's really interesting that Dean closes Sam off. He's in there. And then he has to physically walk upstairs. So he's leaving Sam in the basement. And it's very much like leaving him in hell. Like, Dean's going, he's ascending up and Sam is being left. I just think that that's interesting and I'm going to flag it.
Yeah.
I think this is also, when Dean says, it's not your fault that you lied to me over and over again. I think that's like Dean's like, I think he's trying really hard to give Sam the benefit of the doubt with like the whole demon blood situation. He's like, you didn't choose this. It was forced on you and I'm trying to save you. But that's not the case. Like right now, yeah, Sam's like, I want it. Yeah. And Dean's like, no, no, no. Like you're a victim. And Sam's like, no, I'm not. I'm not a victim. But Dean's like, yeah, you are. You're
kind of convincing himself.
I think it does endear me to Sam a little bit that he is not like trying to blame Ruby for all of this.
He's not. He's like, this is what I have to do and want to do. And Dean's like, no, that couldn't be the case. That doesn't make any sense.
Why would you want to do that?
That's crazy.
Sam calls Dean like really self-righteous. And I'm like, bro, listen to yourself.
Read the room. Look in a mirror.
Yeah. I think that's a great
You're
point.
Both self-righteous. In very different ways.
Yeah.
So Sam is clearly suffering some symptoms of withdrawal, and then he starts seeing like flickering lights and it gets cold. So like something like supernatural is coming. He then sees Alistair and is then strapped into the same bench that Ruby was strapped in what, episode 9?
Yeah.
Yeah. When Alistair tortured her to try to find them. So we then see that Sam is just hallucinating all of this. Alistair is not really there. He's very much dead. And then we go upstairs and Bobby and Dean are drinking because they can hear Sam yelling. And Dean's like, how long is this going to last? Bobby points out that there's not a demon blood addiction manual. Like there's just, they don't know. He's like, you know, we have no idea how long this will take or if Sam will even survive. That's when Rufus calls Bobby and Bobby tells him to suck dirt and die. And if he calls again, Bobby will kill him. And Dean's like, what the hell? What's up with Rufus? And Bobby's just like, Rufus knows. Then Rufus calls back and Bobby is like, it better be good. And I guess it is because Bobby looks kind of shocked.
I really like the idea of Rufus calling and being like, one of your boys is drinking demon blood? And he's like, suck dirt and die.
Suck dirt and die, Rufus.
I love Rufus and Bobby so much. Like, I just love their whole deal.
Yeah.
Each other.
Yeah.
They're so old man bickering together.
So constantly. Much. Yeah.
They're so goofy.
I love it, though.
I think it's really interesting that Sam sees Alistair torturing him. Don't we feel that's really interesting?
Yes.
It is interesting.
Because he obviously didn't go to hell and be tortured by Alistair. So is it like the demon blood just like knows that this is something Alistair does? Or like, what is your, Beth, you look like you have a thought.
So I have been thinking about it, but if anyone else would like to talk first, please go ahead.
You go first. I have a thought, but they're not that serious.
So I think that everything or person that Sam hallucinates is like really important to like what's going on in his inner psyche. And I also thought it was really odd that he saw Alistair because he's not been tortured by Alistair. Like, what's going on?
He's had like one experience with Alistair.
And that was like, so brief for him.
They know each other.
Yeah.
But it's not like,
it was not about him.
It was not about him. And so I think that part of it, because Sam has had this problem this whole season about kind of diminishing what Dean went through in hell, like not quite getting it. And so I think part of it is him thinking he knows what Dean went through and like he's like imagining it was like this. And then also I think he's feeling guilty that Dean did have to go through it. And so he's putting himself in Dean's place. Mm-hmm. And he obviously, Sam thinks he's damned, like ever since he was a child, he's been thinking that. And so I think he's thinking that this is what he deserves. And that's why he sees Alistair specifically, because he knows that that's what happened to Dean.
Remember in like 4-9, 4-10, whatever it was, that Alistair was torturing Ruby. They stripped Jen naked for her torture scene. Why is this one fully clothed?
Why is he wearing clothes?
I pointed that out on something else. I can't remember what it was, but I know I've been on a podcast or talked about it somewhere or on TikTok or something. And I pointed that out. And someone was like, well,
she bulked up so much this season. Like, tarps off, let's go.
Right. They almost always want to show off Jared Padalecki's body. I'm confused why they didn't do it here. And I think that it would be fair if the woman has to get stripped down and sexualized, then so should Jared.
Yeah, I agree. I also noticed that at like when we see that Sam's just hallucinating, the way the camera pans out, he is an upside down cross. Which is like important, of course, religiously. So, yeah.
If you know anything about Christianity.
Yeah, it is important. So just something to note.
Sam stops hallucinating Alistair and starts hallucinating his younger self, which is like my favorite scene of the whole thing. Like Sam's like, I'm losing my mind. And young Sam's like, yes, absolutely. Don't even worry about it. You're definitely going crazy. And young Sam's pissed that adult Sam has like gone so far down this like path of like being a freak, and they were supposed to go be normal, and like they were so close. And young Sam's like, you blew it. Like, we were out, we were gone, like we got away. And adult Sam's just like, grow up, kid, which is one of my favorite lines. And that like they killed Jessica, and like if Sam had just like stayed and not gone with Dean, then like Jessica would still be alive, which I think is untrue, but we can debate that. And young Sam's like, well, what would Jess think about this? And Sam's just like, doesn't matter. And then young Sam's like, crazy yellow eyes.
Right.
That's- yeah, basically.
I think that there's like two distinct, like there's like types of young Sams in this one. There's the first young Sam that kind of represents like Sam's innocence and like naivety of being like, what were you thinking? Like, why, we had a chance to get out, what are you doing? It's like with himself, right? Like that's his, like he's upset with himself that he got dragged back into the life. And then when he tells him to grow up and was like, and like comes to terms with the fact that he was never going to be able to leave, the young Sam, like, I don't know, teleports into a different part of the room. So, like, yeah, representing yeah. kind of, like, a magic type thing. Or, like, demon-y,
and
I don't know.
And he's different. He's yes. meaner.
He's, yeah. And he, like, becomes, like, way more cold. And is like, you're right. You know, maybe it was never going to be different for us. Because you're never, like, you were always going to be.
You were always evil. You were yes. always a freak.
Which is something that he's been dealing with. Since maybe not birth, but like 6 months in.
Yeah, I mean, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just think that that's interesting. I had never really noticed like the distinct shift before.
It is like pretty distinct. And like the camera work in this episode is really good. Like
it is.
Not
it is.
To, for it to be such... kudos for Robert Singer, to Robert Singer for anything, yeah. but actually good job.
Way to go, episode. Robert.
I do hate the camera angles during Sam and Dean's fight in the hotel room, but like we'll get to that later. I think it's so yeah. cheesy. It looks like we're using like close-up fisheye lens on their faces, and I'm like,
it is a little
weird.
Much. It is a little like too is... first-person POV.
Yeah, it's like yeah. I'm not Sam. I'm not Dean. I'm observing this. I don't want to yeah. be a part of it.
Yeah. I don't want to be involved.
But all these panic room scenes are great.
Yes, the panic yes, room, like for it being such a small space, it's yeah. shot really well to like kind yeah. of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I honestly, like, I think Jared does a pretty good job for the majority of this scene, or not, sorry, this episode yeah. in the panic room, like for a lot of it to be just him. I do think he yeah. does a good job.
And always like kudos to Colin.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Colin is great.
Oh, Colin. So Colin fantastic. Is young Sam, Abby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
and
so
like,
good.
A, like, they look alike, and B, like, so yeah. talented. Like,
yeah, he is.
Really
he is
nailing the Sam vibes.
Supernatural has, like, a knack for finding, like, young, really actors. Good actors.
Yeah. yeah.
They I don't really... know how they kept pulling that off.
even I don't from know the even. Start, like, Jared and Jensen were babies. Like,
that's
when
true.
They were... yeah. I guess they had been in other things, both of them, but, like, they were still like early 20s when the show started.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I totally agree with you, KJ, that if Sam had been there when Jess was killed, he wouldn't have been able to do anything. Like, I just don't think yeah. that makes sense.
What was Sam supposed to do?
Right.
Right. I think they would have waited until Jessica was alone.
Yeah. yeah. Or they like, would have taken
no
her
matter
while
what.
He was there. I don't think it would have mattered.
John was there when Mary died.
John couldn't do anything.
Sam was there when Mary died. Died in his crib, like
with demon blood pumping through his veins.
Sam would have just like left for his like his law school interview, and just would have died during like yeah. just would have not been at like 3 o'clock in the morning. It would have been in the middle of the day right. during his interview.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, like and that's I'm in this part. I'm like, Sam, you've got to stop beating yourself up about this.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
that's please. Not on you, buddy.
Azazel specifically wanted you to. Have this happen to you, like
It was going to happen.
It was going to. Like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, it was never fated. Been around Jessica enough.
So Rufus called Bobby about the news, and basically there are apocalyptic seals breaking everywhere. And he's like, Bobby says, there's not that many seals left. And he's like, where the hell are your angels? And Dean's like, I'd love to know. He looks so upset right now. He's like still butthurt about the fact that Cass said he didn't answer to him. So he's like, well, I'd love to know. Like, wouldn't that be great? But Bobby's like, I don't know. Like, what if like right now isn't the best time to be dealing with like this domestic drama or like this family drama with Sam? Because like he can kill demons. And Dean's absolutely not. He says, no, we're not going to sacrifice Sam's soul and use him as a nuclear warhead or like as a weapon. And Bobby's like, I love Sam like a son. And I hate myself for saying it, but maybe he's here right now and not fighting the demons because we love him too much.
It's an interesting concept. Bobby being like, what if like we should just like stop for a second.
I'll be really honest. Yeah. I'm like minorly team Bobby on this because like I think this whole argument's worth it just to hear Bobby say the words that Sam is like a son to him. I just feel like we need to say that more often. But also like if the apocalypse really is like this imminent and we are like all going to die, maybe we let Sam try fixing it and then try detoxing him again tomorrow. You know, like maybe we just like worry about the more pressing issue of like the whole world could die tomorrow. Yeah. Like, we don't.
I definitely get that. It's like a prioritization list of what's really going on.
Yeah, like maybe Sam detoxing is a thing that could wait like one more day.
Yeah. I also see Dean's side too.
But... No, yeah. Dean definitely does not have like his priority is Sam.
Dean's still going off of the angels telling him that it's his job and that Sam's not doing the right thing. And so Dean's like, why would you not listen to heaven over demons?
I get it until Cass lets him out. Then I'm a little confused. We'll get there.
Honestly, like the fact that the angels have consistently said like Dean's our guy, not Sam. The fact that Sam, who has had the most faith in the past, with angels.
Doesn't believe them.
The fact that doesn't really faze him at all.
This is Sam's major character flaw of arrogance. Like, he just firmly believes that he must be right and that what he thinks is the right thing must be the right thing. That it honestly, like, doesn't matter. The angels just must be wrong. They must just not have the full information that Sam has.
They don't know his intentions, obviously, you know, and like
they don't get Sam. They don't get that he needs to kill Lilith. I love Sam so much, but it's a rough argument when like literally angels show up and are like, bro, stand the fuck down.
He's like, but
this demon told me. they're like
uh-huh, like, exactly.
Hear yourself say it again. Hear yourself say it one more time.
Repeat it slowly.
To be really honest, the angels have fucked them over a few times and Ruby has consistently helped them out a few times. Yeah. So I do kind of get it.
Yeah,
I do too. It's
if we actually look at the personal favors of Ruby versus the angels, not counting the fact that they brought Dean back to life, because that's a big favor. Since then, the angels have really only fucked with them.
Except for Cass. Cass did help in 18.
He did.
Yeah. Cass is the only angel that Dean is like, and that's the one that, like, later on, like, Dean's like, doesn't care. He doesn't trust the angels. He never has. But the one that, like, really hurts, he's like, you are such a dick these days. Like, it's all about Cass.
Well, I mean, the last episode, he was like, I don't serve you, man, and I certainly don't serve you, Dean.
And he's like, that seemed personal.
Like, and for some reason, that feels really personal. And he's like, Sam, did that feel personal to you? And Sam's like, no, it's just you.
I would just imagine, okay, so Dean is in the Impala. He's actively driving Sam to go get locked up in the panic room.
Yeah.
Like, I have to have this heart to heart real quick. Do you think that
was about me? When he said you, like, do you think he meant me? Do you think he meant me specifically?
Or like... the collective you,
like,
of
he me. Was he was looking at me and he pointed at me, but do you think he meant me? Surely not.
Do you think he meant us?
And Sam's like, he definitely meant you.
Sam's like, can we talk about the fact that you saw me drinking demon blood straight from a demon?
He's like, no,
hold on, this is really important. Okay, so We are back to Sam in his little panic room, and he's not doing great right now at all. But he does look adorable sitting crisscross applesauce on the ground in front of the bed. Yeah. He looks very cute.
Okay, so right before I started watching Supernatural, I was playing Sims, and I'd have like Netflix open on my second monitor. And the picture on Netflix was of this frame of Sam sitting crisscross in the panic room.
Oh.
And that was like my first, that's my first image of Supernatural.
That's so interesting.
Before I started watching.
That's so interesting that was
it was the... like, you might like this. Which is very funny considering like I'm a Cass girly now. Right. I'm not a Sam.
Look at this sad man sitting on the ground.
You'll like that.
I mean, I had like other things that made me watch Supernatural, but the fact that it was definitely a part of the equation.
It did the trick, you know? Yeah.
The sad man sitting crisscross applesauce.
Also, this is like the moment I was like, he looks really good in this episode. Like he looks, and it's like he's at his worst.
You like him when they look broken.
Yeah. He's at his worst. And I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
But he needs some water badly. And he like looks over at the table and there's water there. So he starts to try to crawl over there, but then he starts hallucinating Mary and she's in her nightgown. Her abdomen wound is showing as it does. She's like, you look awful. And he's like, go ahead and tell me that you're disappointed in me and that I'm a piss poor excuse of a son, which is like, Sam, you can probably find better things to say, and that your heart is broken. And she's like, mm-mm. You're doing the right thing. And he's like, what? And she's like, you're not crazy. You're just being practical. And I'm proud of you. And she's like, Dean doesn't understand. And then she's like, you see, Sam, I was raised a hunter. And so I know about the hard choices and doing what you have to do to get the job done. And then she says, yeah, our family's cursed. And Sam's like, I knew it. She's like, but you have the power to turn it into a gift, not for revenge, but for justice. And Sam's like, that's all I really want. I'm a vigilante. And she's like, I know you're scared. And like, what is in you is in fact evil. Like, yeah. She's like, and you're scared. Like, what if it's stronger than you? And what if Dean is right? And she says, Dean can never know how strong you are. And that's because Dean is weak. And this is when you're like, oh, Sam's hallucinating. Because he said this recently.
Yeah.
He is very weak. And obviously we knew he was, but it was like, man, you still feel this way.
Yeah. Like his dead mom.
Yeah,
right.
He's dead. He's like, my dead mom would also think that my brother is super weak. And Mary's like, Dean locked you in this room because he's terrified and he's in way over his head, and you're just gonna have to go on without Dean. You have what it takes. And Sam's like, yeah, you're so right. And he's like, even if it kills me. And she's like, you have to make my death mean something. I'm counting on you. Which so sad. And then she's like, don't let anything or anyone, even Dean, get in your way. And then she's gone. And he takes that to heart. He really does.
He said, I don't gotta live by that.
We'll see later. Yeah.
This whole scene is, oh my gosh, Sam.
Yeah.
One, the fact that like, okay, he imagines her the way she died. Yeah. Like,
no worries. He doesn't have any actual memories of her aside.
Right.
Like none. Because like he didn't even get to go on the time travel adventure with Dean. Like
no.
He has zero. He has photos and
that's all he's got. And he said, in my mind, she's always in her little gown and she's always bleeding profusely from her abdomen.
Yeah. And he saw Jess die in the same way.
Yeah, that too. He does have the Jess context. This also means that this is Sam's first time having a conversation with his mother.
So the things that like Mary is saying, one, she starts off saying, you look awful. Like,
yeah.
Okay, Mary, damn.
Babe, you like, look how you died. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah. Right. You both look really bad.
And I think it's really interesting that Sam thinks like this is the first thing that Mary would say to him.
Right. Yeah.
The first thing she's ever said to him besides, yeah, I'm sorry, as a ghost.
Yeah,
right. He's just like, you look disgusting.
You look horrible.
What are you doing? Like, wow. Like, okay. And then how he's expecting her to say, you know, like basically like some of the things that Dee's saying, like this is wrong, and like he's expecting her to be so disappointed in him, but he's really looking for like permission within himself. And so she's like, no, I think you're doing the right thing. And he's like, oh, see, my mom
this
would get it.
This show also so parallels Mary and Sam in the early iterations. Like, you can obviously, like, there's an argument to be made that Dean is Mary-coded and Sam is John-coded. But in terms of, the actual, narrative story, Sam and Mary have very similar stories of, like, being raised as hunters and wanting out. So, like, I totally see how Sam's little, like, hallucinating brain was like, actually, Mom would be on your side.
Yeah. I do think it's funny that they mention, like, I was raised as a hunter, as if Dean wasn't. Like, Dean was four, so, like, he was pretty much raised as a hunter.
And Dean's never been out of it.
Holy grove. Right.
Yeah.
He barely has memories of, like, before. Four is too young to, like, pretend like he has, like, a solid thing
but
to
also,
latch on
like,
to.
He was then immediately, like, deputized as a parent, so he was fully grown then at that point. That was all the raising he required was already done.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all he got.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's fine. And yeah, and Mary being like, just leave Dean behind.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
Sam,
weak. You don't need
him. Do you think that your mother would say that about either of you?
Right. Like, surely not. Like, you, I guess you don't know because you don't know her.
Right.
But, like, surely not.
Like, every
right?
story from John and Dean, as far as we know, is about, like, how perfect a wife and mother Mary was. Like, it's just,
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that it kind of deals, like, he, obviously Sam doesn't really like himself, and he thinks that, like, he thinks he's right and doing what he's supposed to, but he does acknowledge that it's, like, a bad thing.
It's coming from a place of evil and a place
technically.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
he's like, well, obviously my mom would, like, not truly, like, love me, but I could do this for her and for the family, and that's how I would be accepted.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, conditional.
Yeah. Right.
Makes me sad.
Yeah, it's very sad.
I kind of meant to bring this up during the baby Sam scene, but, like, do y'all think, like, the other special children would have been susceptible to demon blood addiction? Because, like, demon blood addiction is not just like, not really a thing that, like, the average person has. But, like,
if
they hadn't, like, nuked all the other special children at the end of season two, like, do you think, like, the other children, because, like, I don't know, it feels like some of them would have been willing to go, like, pretty far. Like,
oh yeah,
right.
Ava was
definitely willing.
Yeah. And Ava was definitely, like, growing her powers. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
And,
like, Jake would have. Once he, like, thought he won, Jake definitely, I think, would have as well, because he thought he had to do that to keep his family safe.
Yeah, I think surface level of, like, what we have seen so far, definitely yes. There's things that we can't talk about that I would say probably not.
Yeah, that's true.
But we cannot talk about
it. Yeah,
valid.
That's true.
Valid.
That's true.
Sorry, Abby.
But
how does it?
I guess more, like, we know that they all were exposed as a baby, but, like, it kind of sounds to me like the average person can't just, like, I don't think Dean could just, like, drink some demon blood and get addicted.
That's what I was wondering, too. Right. What would happen to a person if they drank demon blood? Yeah, because, like,
I don't think it would give them powers.
Yeah.
Right. Me neither.
That's fair.
It's not like Vampire Diaries where, like, if you suck a vampire's blood, you get healed. It's not like that.
They were all picked, too. Like, because we know from the, like, time travel episode that, like, Azazel was, like, hand-picking the parents of the kids he was demon-blooding up. So, like, if you're not one of the kids, then...
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it has specifically to do with Azazel targeting them at such a young age, and that's why they can.
It's the prime time to get some demon
technically.
Blood.
Yeah. Yes, it gets complicated when you think about the overarching story.
Yeah,
I just was curious what y'all's thoughts were on that.
Yeah, I definitely think that Dean or a regular person who hasn't been exposed to demon blood wouldn't get powers, and I think that it could probably kill them.
Or at least make them sick.
You shouldn't consume blood. The human body is not meant to digest blood.
So true. So Dean's outside. And Cass comes to him, and Dean's like, I have been screaming my head off praying to you for over 2 hours. Cass is like, what do you want? And Dean's like, first of all, you could tell me what the fuck happened in Illinois. And he's like, what do you mean? Like,
what do you mean?
Cass, what do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. And Dean's like, you were going to tell me something. You got... quote, ass reamed in heaven. And what?
That's a word choice.
Right.
Ass reamed.
I did not realize he said that.
He does say that.
Yeah, he did.
He Yikes. Said that. That's the thing he said.
And, like, you're not going to tell me, like, what happened. And Cass is like, it wasn't of import. And nothing of import. And Dean's like, nothing of import. And then Cass kind of like looks at him with some really sad baby eyes, puppy eyes. Yes. And he's like, Dean, I can't. And you're like, oh, okay.
You can't.
And so then Cass is like, get to the point, ask me about what you really wanted me to ask me about Sam. That's what you wanted. And Dean's like, okay, well, can Sam really kill Lilith and stop the apocalypse? And Cass says, perhaps, but he'd have to drink a lot of demon blood for that. And it would likely change Sam forever in a way that Dean would not like. Cass then tells Dean that it could be avoided and that Heaven believes that Dean can stop it all if he accepts his role. And Dean asks if he does this, so Sam won't have to do it. And Dean and Cass is like, if that's how you want to see it, if you find comfort in that, sure. And Dean's like, God, you're a dick these days. And he just walks away. And the pain on Cass's face, like, he just like, I can't.
I feel like the whole rest of the scene, Cass looks just like so hurt. He's like, I don't want to say anything that I'm about to say, but I have to say it. It's so
I have
sad.
To say all of this. Yes. And so like he does not like that he personally is like upsetting Dean. But Cass is following his orders. So Dean says, fine, I'm in, whatever. And Cass asks Dean, does he give himself wholly over to the service of God and his angels? And Dean's like, yeah. And Cass is like, say it, which Dean is like taken out off. Loud. Off guard for that.
He's a vampire.
And so he does. And then Cass asks if Dean will swear to follow orders as swiftly and obediently as he did his own father's. And Dean's like, yep, sure. And then Dean asks, what now? And Cass says, well, now you wait until we have a reason to call you. And then they stare at each other for almost 15 seconds.
Yep. And we watched.
At least.
That's so long.
And we slowly pull back.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm not gonna lie, this entire scene is uncomfortable for me. There's just something about the like needing Dean to like swear his loyalty in like such exact phrasing that I don't like.
Yeah.
Invoking John Winchester. We just never need to do that.
Ever. No. there's so much. Go ahead, Hannah.
I feel like when specifically when Cass says, like, do you swear yourself over to Heaven? And Dean's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And Cass is like, you have to say it. Like, Cass looks like he's like, I'm so sorry. This is so uncomfortable. Like, I need you to say it.
Like, they're literally going through like a contract, it seems like. And Cass is like,
I'm so sorry.
Have to initial here.
You have to say it out loud in those words, and it's going to be really awkward. And I hate this. I don't want to do this.
It's so awkward.
Also, I think that it's very funny. Like they're trying to invoke his they're trying to get Dean to understand like the type of obedience they want by invoking John Winchester, because we know that Dean always followed John's orders, right? No, he didn't.
Right.
No, he didn't. Whenever it came to like Sam specifically, I'm thinking of after Dean died, like John's final order was to like help like save Sam or kill him.
We've really gotten to a point where I will not
be doing that.
Where that decision is like the most questionable, Dean's execution of that order.
Yeah.
I feel like, we're really, all things that are really pointing towards Dean maybe should have actually listened to John. I would never forget.
Unfortunately.
Him,
that's right.
So true. You are looking great.
But I just thought it was funny that like the last order that we can think of from John, Dean did not obey, and then the like Heaven is like, obey our orders like you did John's, and it's like,
and Dean's like,
okay. He didn't.
Did not.
Totally, I will.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
As long as your orders don't involve any harm coming to Sam, I mean, You could try
right, it. Absolutely. It could be like, ask. I could die. I would say, yeah, sure, I'll do it. But if it's Sam, absolutely not.
Yeah, he's not.
I could die for Sam. That'd be.
Yeah, perfect. That's okay. That's the way I want to go. But not anything that's going to hurt Sam.
It's literally how he already went. Like,
I think that it's interesting that Cass is like very illuminated by white light in this scene. I've brought it up before that I'm pretty sure it's Driver Picks the podcast has talked about white light representing heaven and blue light representing Cass. But right now he's very illuminated in white light and he's very much following heaven's orders right now. So that's very interesting to me. Anything else? Nothing I can think of except for, you know, Destiel.
Right.
Yeah, I know long that stare. 11 to 15 second stare.
Right. That we've talked about it at length already.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, Robert, Mr. Director.
What? Literally yeah. What?
Specifically literally. You, Robert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Considering.
Yeah. Like if you didn't see it, listener, I would go back and watch it because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like it's a long time.
I didn't think to time it, but that is just, it's so, even the like saying 15 seconds is just so uncomfortably long.
That's a long time.
That's a long time, especially in television.
I do like to time things that the show draws out certain scenes. Yeah.
And the music, of course, playing is like so heartfelt and like sad.
They're falling in love. All
it's
over
not
again.
Dean's theme.
No.
But
we're back with with Sam, and he's hallucinating like this like blackness like coming up on his like hands and like face, like the like demon blood in his veins. Very like dramatic, and the special effects have aged at a mediocre rate, I would say. They've done okay. And then Bobby asks Dean if he really like willingly signed up to be the angel's bitch. Like, does he suddenly trust the angels? And Dean's like, no, I don't trust the angels, but like, it's the angels or the demons. And like, we already know the demons are bad. So the options are limited. But then Sam stops the screaming and they're like, Sam's been screaming for help nonstop for like however many hours they've been here. That's not great. And so they both run downstairs and Sam's having a seizure, which then turns into him like supernaturally being like thrown around the room. And then they tie Sam down for his like own safety. And Dean is not thrilled about that. He's not mentally coping well with the with the situation at hand at all.
No, yeah, he like blacks out.
Yeah.
I feel like he's frozen like with like fear. He's like, I don't know at all what to do here.
What to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Sam is, it's like seizures are like bad enough. And like that seemed like a really
this
bad
like
seizure.
A 4D like being thrown across the room seizure.
Right. And then you just add being thrown.
Yeah.
What can what is good. One to do?
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about seizures and stuff, I have to admit, but I'm pretty sure you don't hold people down and shove things in their mouths.
No.
Those are like the two main things you don't need to do.
Right. That's what I thought.
Actually. So.
Yeah. I mean, so, I guess if you're being thrown across the room, maybe some holding down is required. But
that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, yeah, and also like if they tie him down, like he won't like theoretically hit his head because like, you know, things like that. But yeah, I mean, he won't fall off the table.
There's other stuff in this room.
Yeah.
Technically it's supposed to like turn them on their side so they don't choke on their tongue.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. But
I do think this is like pretty realistic for two men who are not doctors. Like they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, just recently they changed it. So you did used to stick something in their mouth to hold their tongue down. But now they say don't do that because they bite down. They could bite down and then they break all their teeth because they bite down.
Choke or
or choke
any
or
thing.
Yeah. So you're like not, but that just recently changed. So maybe in 2009 that was the correct thing to do.
Yeah, maybe in 2009 that was still the recommended.
There's
first
just
aid.
New evidence based practice that it's not now. So
wow.
Yeah.
Look at you.
So good to have a medical opinion on the show.
I have knowledge for once about something. I know.
I don't remember if this was, I guess this was like right before Sam had the like vain hallucination, but I did just like, I did pause to see what magazines they left Sam down there. Because we saw four magazines and we could see that two of them, one was The Gun Collector and the other one was Weekly Woodsman. And like, those are solid choices.
Yeah, I did notice the magazines, but I did not pause to look.
It's so funny.
I always love to read those things.
They're like, he's going to want to read. Let's leave him magazines.
Yeah.
Like, not a book.
Also, like, don't you picture Sam reading, like, a thicker book? Like, isn't Sam, like, such a, like, right. book guy? And he probably never has time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So funny.
This was Dean's chance to get him to read some Vonnegut.
Right. So if all I leave in there is Vonnegut, he'll read it. He will.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do? Also, just sit there and hallucinate?
Bobby's, like, speech to Dean is almost the exact same speech that he gave Dean about selling his soul when he found out that Dean sold his soul. Like,
so Sam wakes up. He is tied to the bed still. And Dean's there, and he's, like, telling him what happened. He's like, you were getting thrown around all the room. Like, we had to tie you down for your own safety. And he's like, why did you do this to yourself? He's like, yeah, I get it. You want to kill Lilith, but why? He's like, for revenge? For what? Sending me to hell? Like, I'm back. I'm alive. Like, what is there now for revenge? Like, there's no reason for this. And Sam's like, yeah, but also to stop the apocalypse. And Dean's like, but that's not your job. That's my job. Like, the angel said so. And then we see, like, a higher view of the room, and it turns out that Sam is hallucinating this conversation. So.
Yeah, it's funny that we still hear Dean. It's like, Sam is hallucinating this, but just so that we can continue the conversation, here's what he's hearing.
Yeah.
But Dean's
we don't
not
want
there.
Like a weird gap.
Yeah. Yeah. But Dean's not there. It's like, it's funny how they show that, but I understand, but it's funny.
Yeah.
For
it's
not a
such
funny
a
scene.
Good point.
Yeah.
Right. It's such a good point that Sam is technically making to himself that's like, Dean's alive. You idiot. Like, you don't have to kill Lilith.
I'm not the only one screaming that every 3 seconds. Your brother is right there. Stop.
Like, what are you doing? Like, yes, killing Lilith and stopping the apocalypse is important, but not because of Dean being in hell.
No.
He's not in hell.
You could do that by helping Dean, like you have always done for the first, like, 24 years of your life. You don't need to do this.
Right.
Yeah. Holy. What if you teamed up? Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah,
an idea.
What if
maybe
you guys
we like
stopped?
Thank the people that saved Dean from hell, and then
yeah,
we, like,
and we
work
listen to
with
them
to stop.
Yeah.
The thing,
and they
that
do
put
just
in
so
hell.
Happen to be angels.
Angels.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Personally,
it's just
I think
funny
we need
that
to take
Sam
a step
knows
back.
This.
Yeah.
Sam knows.
Right.
He knows. This is what makes me, like, drives me crazy. Like, he
does know.
That's an argument. He knows, but he's deciding to ignore.
He's deciding
it.
That
that's dumb,
it,
though.
He's more right than what they are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
which is so
it
Sam.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Very,
don't
very
worry about
Sam.
It.
He's just a goofy guy. He just feels that way.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so, it's Bobby and Dean, and Bobby's again. He's like, okay, I just have to ask one more time. Are we sure we're doing the right thing? And I'm like, Bobby, you seem pretty sure that you're not. Like, you seem to have know how you feel. But he is asking Dean, because Dean's Sam's dad, you know? Like, Bobby's their father, but Dean's his dad. So,
right. Yeah.
So I get it. Yes. Yeah. He has to ask permission. And Dean's like, the demon blood is killing Sam. And Bobby's like, no. We are, Dean. We're killing him. And Dean's like, absolutely not. He's like, I can't, Bobby says, I can't just, like, bite my tongue anymore. This cold turkey thing isn't working. I thought it meant Sam can't bite his tongue anymore when I first read it. And so I was like, that's true. I don't know why that's important, but.
He shoved a belt in his mouth.
Yeah,
so
of
true.
Course he can't. No, but Bobby's like, this isn't working. It's not going to work. And if Sam doesn't get what he needs, he's not going to last much longer, which maybe, again, there's no demon blood book. Like, we don't know. So I don't know. And Dean's like, no, I won't do that. And if Sam dies, at least he dies a human. And he's like, I guess that's my line. I don't know. I guess I found it. Congratulations, Bobby. You were here to recognize when this happened. And then we're in the panic room and it's fake Dean again with Sam while Sam's hallucinating. And he's like, fake Dean is like, I know why you really drink the demon blood. It's because it makes you feel strong and invincible. And he's like, it's because your whole life you felt different. And not just because of like your family, but because you're a monster and you always have been a monster. And Sam's like, ouch. And fake Dean says like, you only feel right when you're sucking down more poison and evil, of course, talking about the demon blood. And then we're with real Dean. This is the part where he does actually say about this is his line. And he's like, I would die for Sam in a second, but I won't let him do this specifically to himself. He says, I won't let Sam become a monster. And then we're back to fake Dean. And he's like, you're a monster, Sam. And Sam says, don't say that to me. Don't you say that to me. Like specifically you, Dean, which is so sad. And then he's like, Dean's like, I tried so hard to pretend that you were like my brother and that you weren't just like a thing I needed to hunt. And fake Dean's like, you're nothing to me. And ouch. And then Sam's like, please, please, please don't. And then he realizes he was hallucinating and he just falls to sleep. He just goes straight to sleep. He said, I can't do this anymore. I just need a nap.
Honestly, like, yeah, like, I feel like that's a pretty valid trauma response.
Yeah,
he's like shut down at that point. When the person that you love most in the entire world is like, you're a monster and you mean nothing to me. Yeah, go to sleep. It's fine.
Take a nap.
Go to sleep. It'll help. Take a nap.
Take a nap.
You need a nap.
Yeah.
It can't really get worse than this. You might as well just go to bed.
Yeah.
Ignore your problems. Usually wouldn't say that. This time you should.
Yeah. It'll work. Yeah. It's such a sad scene.
Yeah.
Every part of it is sad. Like the Dean and Bobby bits are sad. The Sam and Dean bits are sad. Like all of it's sad. Also, I still kind of agree with Bobby. Like, is there a scenario where we can like just cut him back a little bit over time? Can we do this a little slower? Because like this definitely does seem like it might be killing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's so tough because like that's what rehab is as well. You know, is like. Yeah. Going cold turkey.
But like that also
and it often doesn't work for people.
Definitely die. Like
and it often people like they get out of rehab and they go straight back to what they were doing before because like it doesn't last. So there's a good chance even if Sam like got through this without demon blood in his system, they'd let him out of the panic room and he'd be like, Ruby, I need a hit.
Yeah, immediately find the demon.
Can like 100% like, straight up just kill you, like just withdrawal symptoms. Like
yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if things are different with specifically demon blood in Sam's body.
Right.
And so like that's where the question definitely arises. We don't know. No one knows, unfortunately.
But like this definitely seems like it's not going super well.
It's not good. That's for sure.
I agree with Bobby that maybe we should be like second guessing ourselves a little bit. I'm kind of glad that we're not just like straight up like this is the thing we're doing and we're not even like thinking about it.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're having thoughts and conversations.
Yeah.
I think that it's interesting that I just brought up like John's last order to Dean and how kind of Dean is now like considering it because he's like, he doesn't want Sam to become a monster. And so if the alternative is dying as a human, like right now, like Dean has said, that's what he's going to do. Like that's the choice he's making.
Kind of what Sam wants though. Like isn't like Sam never wanted Dean to sell his soul. He was pretty content to just die back in season two. Yeah. Like he was like, I was dead and you should have left me dead. And like, I think he's always, I mean, people like the whole concern, like this, it was never really like fully fleshed out, but the whole thing was like, did Sam come back wrong? Like what the fuck happened to Sam when he died?
And, like, Yeah. I think it's interesting also that like John, when he says this to Dean, it's very much like, you're probably going to have to kill him. And then Bobby is giving Dean this thing. And he's like, you're going to have to save him. Like, this is the difference between Bobby and John, like, trying to tell Dean what to do. God. And Dean, yeah, thank God for Bobby. But Dean's still like, I just don't know. Like, it's pretty bad, Bobby. Also, do you see how bad it is? Like, I don't, do we want him to keep doing this? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, what a tough decision for Dean to make. Because Bobby's leaving it up to him. Like,
yeah,
completely.
Also, but, like, Dean being like, I would die for him for a second. I'm like, babe, that's the problem. That's exactly how we got here. Because you died and it traumatized him. Like,
yeah.
You died for Sam, and it literally ruined him.
It's just like, he's like, I don't know if you guys remember, but I do have suicidal ideation where if Sam is in trouble, I will kill myself.
I will.
For him. No, for sure.
Right. Yeah, I have to. That's the only way I know how to be.
He's like, that's all I'm good for. And then Bobby's like slamming his head against his own desk. He's like, if you guys could just stop.
Yeah, Bobby's like, I can't keep doing
like,
that's this.
The whole reason Sam's like this is because Dean died for him the first time. Like,
I mean, honestly, and Dean selling his soul in the first place is where this all began. Like, Sam could have just unfortunately stayed dead. And it would have been so sad.
Sam had some problems beforehand, but like, they weren't this bad.
Yeah.
Right. And like the deal being made is what brought Ruby into their life. And then Dean dying is what she really got, quote, her hook sunk into him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's a tough time.
And then Mystery Spot happened, obviously.
Those sneaky 6 months.
Sam had six months that Dean didn't have.
And again, I don't think that Sam ever told Dean or Bobby about those 6 months.
No,
and
so, he
like,
did not.
I really feel like that should have been a conversation they had. I feel like
definitely Bobby don't think he told Bobby.
Bobby could have been a little like, bit I killed more you. The actual like 4 months that Dean was dead. Like,
if he
had known that Sam was going to do a runner and start doing shady shit, I feel like, you know, a heads up would have helped. Bobby would have
absolutely
been more likely to follow up on some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Secrets.
Exactly. I was like, there's a lot that they should tell each other.
Oh yeah.
But you know, okay so Sam wakes up and something is magically releasing him from his bounds. Is that a
his
word?
Binds.
Did I write that right?
Bonds.
Binds. It's like, I don't think
or bonds.
Anyway, so he was tied down, he's magically getting out. And like the panic room itself opens up, and of course Sam sneaks out.
Sam's
obviously
like,
he's like, this is a sign, I'm leaving. he doesn't know who's getting him out, but he doesn't care.
It does not matter.
And when he sneaks out, we see that it was Cass who let him out of the panic room. So that's interesting.
Still looking pained.
And then
Cass he's still looking pained.
Like, oh, and God. Like, to me, notably, like, he's in the shadows and he's like, no one knows he's there.
Lurking
he's letting
under Bobby's stairs.
He's lurking under Bobby's stairs. Then he goes to some docks, because why wouldn't he? He said, I'm having a stressful time. Let's go to the water.
Let's go watch the water.
We need to go watch the water.
In South Dakota. Yeah. I guess. I don't know where
he could go anywhere.
He could be anywhere. Yeah, that's true.
But Anna follows him and she's like, what did you just do? And why? Like, how could you do this? And he's like, you really shouldn't have come. But unfortunately, since you did. But so before that, Cass is like, well, it was my orders. I had to let Sam out. And she's like, do you understand that that makes no sense? Why are you doing that? And she tries to reason with him, and Cass repeats, like, you really shouldn't have come. And then two more angels grab Anna, and then we see a bright light and they're gone. Sam breaks. One word.
Sam breaks.
into a car, but Bobby finds him. He puts a shotgun up to him, tells him, like, you're going back inside, you're not going anywhere. Sam refuses to go back inside, and he knows that Bobby won't shoot him, even after Sam tells Bobby to shoot him. And when Bobby doesn't, Sam knocks Bobby out with the butt of the gun and then hotwires the car and drives away.
That's a lot.
That was a lot.
It is a lot.
I
mean,
I feel like we don't give Cass enough credit, positive or negative. That's between you and God. But, like, credit for letting Sam out. That's such a major betrayal of Dean.
Yeah.
To let Sam out. And, like, I feel like we just kind of, like, forget about that. Like, mm-hmm. as a collective group, we just kind of forget that happened. Like, Cass.
Yeah.
Other mistakes are brought up and not that. That feels like a big one.
I'm curious how Abby feels about it, just like as someone who's obviously not watched the show before.
For a second, I thought that he did it before he said those were my orders to Anna. I thought he did it so that Dean wouldn't have to kill Lilith.
Okay.
Like, I thought he was letting him out because, like, in, like, he didn't want Dean to have to go through all of that, like, to do it. He wanted to just have Sam try. So that Dean didn't have the possibility to die, but like Sam did more so.
Sure.
That's kind of like what I thought. That's what I thought before he said that he had orders or orders.
Yeah. They were his orders. Yeah.
They were his orders. So I was like, I don't remember. That's what he said.
But
yeah, I do. I was like shocked. I have an all caps Cassiel with a question mark and then an exclamation point. So, so I was definitely shocked. Cassiel? Are you sure? Is that just
You're using his full name.
Yeah. And not just Cass.
Cassiel. I'm mad at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's like for sure like what I thought at first. I was literally typing out that. And then he said I had orders. And I put in my notes literally, oh, for a second I thought he did it. Like I put exactly how it happened in my brain. Yeah.
So, how do you feel about it post knowing that is his orders? Like how does that?
Not great.
The angels just don't really feel like they're doing a great job. So
I'm really confused at the angels' goal right now.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's valid. Yeah.
They're dropping the ball based on this episode.
Well, yeah, they've like warned Dean about Sam and about how bad it was going to get. So Sam did something about it. And now they're like, oh, wait, no. Actually, we're going to let him keep doing it.
My favorite thing about Cass letting Sam out, and this is so stupid, but like Cass takes great care to like reclose and lock the door. And I'm like, even Bobby must have been so fucking confused when the door was fully locked.
He's like, so dramatic.
No fingerprints, though. No fingerprints. He said, I'm going to use my powers.
Or not. Like, Sam's still a human being. Like, he can't go through a wall.
There's not an iron wall.
Yeah.
Right. And he also, like, he breaks the demon traps. Like, just.
Yeah. Just for fun.
Just two.
Yeah.
Just to make it look like it was a demon.
Maybe
or something.
Maybe
it was Ruby. He's like, cover all my bases. You never know. I don't want Dean to find out yet.
Double betrayal. Like, Cass was really just like, he betrayed Dean by letting Sam out. And then he turned around and betrayed Anna. Like,
right, that was all.
It's not stellar for Cass right now. As a Cass apologist, I do have my reasons, but I can't fully go into detail.
Obviously, but Abby has no idea.
Right, I understand.
I also understand
feeling that way. However, to me, Cass has not done anything wrong.
I agree. I was just wondering how Abby feels since she has no idea why he did it.
Yeah,
I think also like Cass isn't a really weird place right now because before he got sent to heaven he was like very much I think he was more like 60-40 on his faith where like 60% of him wanted to be with Dean so like I think it was I mean not be with Dean but like not
Silent
be
Dean.
Like not follow his orders and I think that like he was still holding on to his faith because it's like it's like scary also because he's an angel.
So,
like he literally could die because
that's what he was made for.
Angel.
It's literally what he was made for. Yeah.
That's so true.
And I think that it's hard. It seems hard to defend him because he betrayed Dean, but at the same time, like he is in such a hard place with his faith and his like feelings that I feel like it's comforting to him to just do what he's told right now rather than like actually decipher what's going on, what he's actually feeling. And not even feelings for Dean. I just mean like in general, feelings of rebelling or of right. like leaving. So
yeah. Like he said early, like, I'm feeling things. That's weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So like, he's not even supposed to do that. He's not supposed to feel anything. Right. And he is. And yeah. So, and like in the last episode, so when he said, like, I don't serve you, you said that you thought he had been like brainwashed or something when he was in right. heaven. So like, that would also make sense for like him having conflicting feelings. Like,
yeah.
If he had been brainwashed, then yeah, his body would be like, his brain would be like, you literally can't do this thing because you've been told you can't mm-hmm. type thing. Yeah. So
right.
I think the pain, these expressions on his face throughout this entire episode, for sure. though, they kind of prove that like, whatever they, because he was not like that in the last episode. Like he was like cold and robotic at the end of the last episode. Like it's, it was, complete 180.
Those conflicting feelings are already coming back. Like,
yes. They're already so strongly there. Like, whatever they did,
they didn't do it good enough.
It's not holding.
Try harder.
Really quick about Sam and Bobby, because I feel like we do have to like move on, but like, I just want to like kudos Bobby for actually threatening to shoot Sam, even though throughout this whole episode, Bobby seemed like maybe we should just like let Sam go. Like when push came to shove, he was like, Dean doesn't want that. So he did actually try to get Sam back in the house. But also like Sam is so manipulative in this scene. Like he knows that Bobby's not going to shoot him. And like, I don't know, there's something about the way that Sam can be like so, like such a large man, like so so tall and intimidating looking, but also looks so small and like wounded and like puppy dog eyes and like the tears and
then like absolutely
just turn around and actually be like, I calculated the fuck out of that, like
it is give me more
of that, like that is what I like.
I
love that aspect of him so much.
he this scene is very manipulative. I feel like Bobby could have shot him somewhere like that wasn't gonna kill him.
You don't have to shoot him. I mean, maybe like, I mean a shotgun does a lot of damage, so like
it
maybe,
does
like just like a different gun choice would have been better here, but I get the time was tough.
I mean, we know that the show doesn't care if Sam has a concussion all the time, so like instead of a gun or like use the gun, like hit him upside the head when he's in, like not seeing you.
Sam's gotten so many concussions that he just like gave Bobby one, no big deal.
He's like, I get them all the time,
he'll
be fine.
He's old, but it's fine.
I do like that, you know, Bobby didn't kill him, like in compared to like John.
John
in a heartbeat,
John would have killed him a long time ago.
Would have, like, John instructed Dean to, but also like he got mad at Sam when Sam didn't kill John in the season one finale, like genuinely mad at Sam for not killing his own dad. If you expect your kid to shoot you, I guess the assumption is that you're comfortable shooting your kid.
Absolutely.
Although I know we did say that John gave the order to Dean because he couldn't do it himself. Like he didn't want to kill his own son. I definitely do
agree with that. But
But
I think he just didn't want to deal with it, though. You know, like I don't think it's as much. Like, he's like, well, Dean will do it.
Well,
Dean
will have to do it. It's not even that you like you have to deal with like the killing Sam too, which I'm sure he did struggle with. He is still Sam's father, but like also like you have to deal with Dean after you shoot Sam. Like, good luck with that.
Not want to do that.
Good luck being the guy that killed Sam Winchester when Dean Winchester is still out there.
I mean, like, the point of having like a Ray hand man is that you don't have to do everything, that you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. You just pass it on. Exactly. So like, that's what Dean was.
Bobby and Dean go check out the panic room and again are like, how the fuck did Sam get out of here? Because Cass closed up all the doors behind them and all the demon traps are bust open. And like their guess is Ruby, but they're like, I didn't think Ruby could. And like Ruby has historically not been able to get into the panic room. In the Anna episodes, she like couldn't go in, but you know, maybe she just wasn't. And Dean's like, well, I hope Sam's with Ruby because I'm finding Sam and I'm killing Ruby. And if those two things happen at the same time, that's great for me. And he's like, I can be on call for the angels while I'm in the car. They're angels. They can fucking find me.
Yeah.
And then Bobby's like, Sam doesn't want to be found. Like, how are you going to find him? And Jean's like, I can find him. Don't even, that's the least difficult thing.
He's like, oh, I'll find him.
Don't worry. He's like, we'll see. We'll see if I can't find him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know Sam better than I know myself, except for the fact that he's been lying about doing drugs for the last year.
I feel like I guess like maybe Dean just like could not conceptualize drinking demon blood.
Yeah,
but I feel like he's also just kind of in denial. Like, like he knew that something was going on.
He thought that like Sam was like doing like actual drugs. Like,
right? Would your mind ever go to demon blood? You know, like anybody?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Like he's probably drinking demon blood.
That's an insane thing.
Yeah,
that is insane. Absolutely, that is an insane like thing to just get to on your own. But like, do you think he was secretly like, did Sam like pick up like a heroin problem while I was gone?
Probably. He probably did think that.
Like he's
like, he never said it, but like.
Because, like, Dean's definitely done drugs before, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, he's like, all the signs are there. But, like, surely not.
And he's been around other people with addiction, for sure.
Yeah, they're hunters. There's an opioid crisis everywhere, but, like, absolutely. Like, the drug crisis in the hunting community must be astronomical.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. this is off topic, but you said, you know, like Cass finding him, and it made me think of it of the staring scene. I remembered the one thing I was trying to think of. Specifically Dean like praying to the angels. Like he wasn't praying to all of the angels.
He was praying to Cass.
No.
He was praying to Cass. He was like, I've been screaming out here for you for two hours. Like at the end. For more than 2 hours.
Honestly,
I didn't think about it any of the times that I watched the episode, but as I was like recapping that like little bit, I was like, wait, Dean has that thing where like the angels actually can't find him, but I guess Cass will call him. If he's not at Bobby's, he'll figure it out.
And like also Cass said like in his like dialogue, he was like, get to the point of why you called me here. So it's like very personal of being like, like, Dean was sitting there in the scrapyard being like, Cass!
Yeah.
Castiel! Like, just,
oh, yeah, it was 100% Cass.
Screaming for him, and I'm like,
who else would Dean call? Like, he doesn't like anybody else.
Yeah.
They don't hardly know anybody else.
And the way his voice is hoarse.
Yeah. You know that he had some broken Castiel, like, screaming it, and I'm really glad we didn't have to see it.
No, me too. I would have cried.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
It is so interesting, though, that, like, he wouldn't call Anna at all. Like, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only angel I can even think of that Dean, like, doesn't totally
Right. But, like, the last episode, he saw her and he was like, ooh, you look so good. Like, they were trying to make it seem like he still had feelings for her or had feelings for her ever. and like, I just really don't think he did. But, yeah, so it's so interesting that, like, because Anna, well, Anna's obviously a little tied up at the moment, but Dean doesn't know that. So, like,
he could call.
He could call, but he wasn't. He was calling Cass.
Somewhere in those 2 hours, he could have tried.
He could have at least said her name, but I don't think he did.
Yeah, I think it was just Cass. And that's why he's like, man, you've been such a dick lately. Like, it's all very personal.
Yeah.
It is. His heart's broken already.
Oh, poor BD. All right. Sorry, I derailed this a little.
No, you're
okay. All good.
So Sam is in a very nice hotel room and he's withdrawing. He's in full withdrawal.
He's shaking.
And Ruby shows up and she's like, the honeymoon suite. Wow. and Sam's like, did you help me out? Did you get me out of there? She's like, no, I didn't, but I'm glad you're out. But like, no, it wasn't me. He's like, where the hell have you been for the past 3 weeks? Like,
where the hell have you been, Loka?
Where the hell have you been, Loka? Actually. And Ruby says she's been busy hunting Lilith, and she couldn't check her phone.
I'm sorry. This is just a PSA to everyone listening. They have time to check their phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they care about you.
They have time.
They have time, and they will get back to you.
Yes.
Unless they are literally in a, like, overseas in a situation, like, they have no phone access. Like, it's gone. And in today's day and age, that's rare. So.
Right. If they wanted to, they would. Exactly. But she doesn't want to, so she won't.
Oh, no. This is
intentional. And she's like, I'm so sorry that you're hurting. I had no idea that Dean would do that to you. And Sam's like, yeah, he's going to come after me. So, like, I tried to do some different things to, like, shake him. I would do the opposite of what he thought I would do. And Ruby's like, it won't be easy because Dean knows you better than anyone. And Sam's like, well, not as well as he thinks. And then he's immediately proven wrong, like, in the next scene, but it's fine. And Ruby's like, it's actually really, like, sad that things have gotten this bad between you and Dean. And then she goes up to, like, touch his face, and Sam tackles her onto the bed and then goes down, works his way down her body to her leg, gets the knife out of her boot, and slices her wrists to drink her blood.
Right on the light-colored comforter.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
This apparently nice hotel.
Right. Yeah. Significantly nicer than what he's usually in.
Yeah. Significantly nicer than their typical bottom-of-the-barrel hotel.
I know we've seen them have sex, and it's, like, very aggressive. It is. But this is just, like...
He needs it. The blood.
Yikes.
Yeah. She loves it, though. She's, like...
She does.
Yeah.
She's like,
I personally think, like, obviously, right, like, Ruby, again, like, if Ruby wanted to contact Sam for the last 3 weeks, she would have. Like, right. Sam hasn't been locked in the panic room for 3 weeks. He's been down there for, like, a couple of days max, probably less.
Yes.
And, like, I definitely think that she is, like, okay, we're getting close to, like, the big fight, and she's stringing Sam out intentionally so that he is not going to ask too many questions about what the plan is from here.
Yep. Yeah, she's definitely manipulating him.
Absolutely.
Like, we've been pretty certain about that since season 3, but
it's becoming very obvious, like, that she has him strung out and in withdrawal on purpose.
Yes.
I do like to think about, like, what the check-in process at this hotel must have been like, because Sam is very clearly not doing well.
Yeah.
Like,
and if this is a nice hotel.
This is a fancy hotel, and he's, like, not doing well. And they're like, okay, sir. Yeah, sure. Just take the honeymoon suite.
You better get out there.
Yeah. Like, you don't look good. Yeah.
And then, like, this random girl shows up.
Yeah.
Who knows how?
Yeah.
What? Like, I guess she has her car.
She's a nice car, at least her car is believable. I mean, Sam had a nice-ish car at that point too. So
yeah.
But he's clearly going up there to do drugs.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he has to be.
Maybe they're just, like, so used to it that they don't give a fuck.
Maybe they're like, that's maybe the honeymoon suite.
Rich people are going up there to do drugs all the fucking time. True.
Right.
maybe so.
Sam looks bad though. Yeah.
Yeah, Sam's,
like, he's, like, dirty almost. Right, like there's, like,
he's all got, kinds, like, of stuff on his face. His eyes are sunken in, like. Mm-hmm.
Well, he had to, like, hotwire cars, and so maybe got grease. And
he's probably been going nonstop. Like, when was the last, like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long of a drive was this as well? Like.
He's not gotten sleep. Like,
He's not.
He's not eating.
He's definitely not eating.
He barely eats on a good day.
Minnesota, right?
He is.
Yes.
He's in Cold Spring, Minnesota. So, I mean, I don't know. I honestly could not tell you how far, like, just looking at a map, South Dakota is from Minnesota anyway. Regardless, he's not slept in a bit, and he's not eating, and he's probably not drinking water, and he's just wanting some demon blood. So he's
Dean and Bobby left Sam magazines. It doesn't seem like they left him food.
They did leave him water, but he didn't drink it. He started to, but then he hallucinated Mary, and so he got distracted. Yeah, he's like,
valid distraction. That's my mom.
Yeah, so true. Okay, so Bobby calls Dean, and he's like, wait, I think. And he's like, well, we found Sam. Somebody found Sam's car, and two other cars were stolen. One's really flashy, and the other one's not. And Bobby's like, so we know which one he took, am I right? And Dean's like, yeah, he took the flashy one because he's trying to lose me. Normally he wouldn't. He did. Like, Sam.
Yeah.
Reverse psychology. Like,
yeah, like, yeah. Buddy. And he's going to find him, and Bobby's like, okay, well, I'll wait here. So he didn't call him. They were together. And then we're with Ruby and Sam, and Ruby's like, oh my God, your appetite's gotten so big. And she's like, but it's not a bad thing. It means you're getting stronger. And she's like, there are only three or two seals left. Just the order of those is funny to me.
That's how she said it.
Yeah. I believe you. There's like very few seals left. Like this thing is happening tomorrow. Probably. And Sam's like, where are the angels? And Ruby says, they're screwing the pooch, which I think we've already covered pretty much. Like we made it pretty clear they're doing it. And she tells Sam that she found what the last seal is and only Lilith can break it. And it has to, Lucifer's first is what she says. And Sam's like, Lucifer's first. Okay. And they go through that. And then Sam works out. He's like, if I can get to Lilith in time before the seal breaks, Lucifer will never bust out of the cage. Sam's so smart. He figured that out all on his own.
Logic, I guess.
Ruby didn't even have to help him. And she's like, well, Lilith can hide. But no worries. I found one from her inner circle. Call her a personal chef. And Sam's like, what does she eat? And Ruby's like, you don't want to know. And I feel like if I were Sam in this moment, I'd be like, yes, I do.
I have to know. Some follow-up questions.
I have to know now. And we do see it. It is babies. It's babies.
Yeah.
We don't see her eating a baby. We just see that. Babies are being taken, and then we see the nurse is talking about it, and then this nurse is like, they're just so delicious, and her eyes flash black, and it's like, oh, babies.
Demon lore with like their eyes flashing black. I still want to know if they have control over that.
I know.
It seems like sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Right. Yeah. Like she's being extra demony. So she's like, oh, my eyes flashed black. Like, can they feel it? Do they know?
I think they do. It does seem like they do, but like if they can do it on command or not is where it's like, but it does seem like they know. Cause like when people are scared, they're like, you know, like they're like, gotcha. Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah. It is weird.
I feel like they do, but it sometimes that makes the choice of when to do it questionable, but
right. Yes.
Okay. I have a thing about the cars that Sam stole. Sam always picks a blue car, and Dean actually does also gravitate towards a blue car if the Impala is not what they're driving. They do tend to, but like Sam very specifically a blue car, and the car that Sam didn't steal but should have stolen, because that's what he would usually steal, is a blue Honda Civic. And so I just feel like, you know, we're keeping my theory alive. I don't know what the significance is that the cars are blue, but like almost always if you see Sam driving like a stolen vehicle, it is blue.
Interesting. I've never caught that before, but I will be looking at it now.
Also, I cannot understate how fucked up the seal system is. Like, there's a very specific first seal and a very specific last seal, but then there's 64 other seals, and there are hundreds of other seals. Yes. Those 64 could be, it doesn't matter what order, it doesn't matter what combination. That's such a bad system.
Yeah.
Right. Who's in charge? Like, who set this up?
Yeah, like, who built this? Like, this is a dumb way to seal anything.
Like, why did... why? Why is there any way for Lucifer to get out of his cage?
Also, like, why is it 66? Like, 60... Like, I guess it's, like, supposed to be, like, the devil's number, but, like, why not 666? Why
that's
not...
That's the devil's 666? Number.
Like, I'm pretty sure I remember them being, like, there are 666 seals to
but
break.
We only need to break 66 of them. Like, like
we only How many books are in the Bible? They're, like, one for each book.
Perfect.
yeah, I don't know. It makes no sense. Also, though, like... You can, I mean, it seems like heaven would have created the seals, like put Lucifer in the cage
after he created. Like, they should
have a list. Also, why are there any seals? I just don't, why can't it be?
What were we anticipating?
They knew that Dean was a seal because they tried to get Dean out of hell before that seal broke. They knew about the Sam Haynes seal before that happened. So, like, clearly they know at least some of them, if not all of them. So, like, why aren't we, like, watching them more closely? Why are the angels doing so badly?
Why did whoever created this even make them a possibility? Like,
and what part of the world, like universe, would we be like, okay, we have to get Lucifer?
Also, why even bother with the other 66? Like, yeah. Why bother with the 64 in the middle? Like, why do they matter? Right. Like, why do we have to do 64 other evil things? We can just do the first one and the last one. If the other 64 can be whatever evil things, then like, why does it matter? Why not just two? Why not just two?
Yeah. In what world did we think
to be 66?
It makes no sense. And yeah, in what world did we think, like, so for when we do need Lucifer out of his cage,
right?
Here are over 600 seals that we could break. We only need 66 of them, though.
Just whatever we're fancying.
But no one's going to know what those seals are.
Most convenient for you, you know, like whichever ones are like the least amount of effort for you personally.
Yeah. Whatever feels good in the moment. I like to give people options. And, but there's a specific first one and a specific last one. And the other 64, just throw a dice and pick one.
If you happen to have two witches that have been alive for 600 years waiting for the opportunity to raise them, hey, use them. But if not, don't worry.
Yeah. It just is so dumb. But I don't know.
Yeah. It is.
Imagine you're a neonatal nurse and like you just wake up and find out that you've stolen two babies and no one knows where they are and you don't know where they are.
Yeah.
And like, like the other nurse is like, she's saying she's like possessed. She has no memory of it. Like, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, her she probably loves her. Babies.
She's going to go to prison forever.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You walk out of a hospital with two babies and they don't come back and you have no idea what happened to them. You can't prove what happened to them. You're going to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just another innocent bystander of the supernatural wrecking their life. Okay. So Sam has gotten all cleaned up. He took a shower. And now that he has his demon blood coursing through his veins, he's fine. He's good to go. Ruby tells him that the demon chef nurse will be at her shift tomorrow night. And Ruby tells Sam that he's definitely going to need more blood than what she can give him in order to be strong enough to kill Lilith. Sam sighs and Ruby's like, Sam, it's okay. Like she thinks he's kind of sighing, like, I don't want to drink more demon blood. But instead Sam's like, oh yeah, I know that's okay. I just wish Dean would trust me. He's like, I'm totally over like demon blood. Is it bad? That's fine. I just wish Dean would trust me about it. Just okay. Like we've come a long way from Sam being like, I don't want to do this. You know, like it feels like he kind of wants to.
Yeah.
So Ruby says that she's sorry, and Sam says that he hopes that when all this is over, that they can fix things. Bobby calls Dean and tells him where the Escalade was abandoned, and the town near it where it was abandoned is lighting up with demon signs. And so Dean's like, that looks like a place we should look. Bobby then tells Dean that finding Sam has to be about getting him back and not pushing him away. He tells Dean to be good to Sam anyway, even though he's mad at him, even though Dean's mad at Sam. Mm-hmm. And then Dean hangs up.
I really wish that Bobby had come with us on this trip so that he could have reinforced that thought over that conversation.
Dean's not very good for him.
Would have been really great, actually.
I think, the fact that, like, Bobby has been really good about, like, letting them figure things out on their own and, like, trying not to, like, force them to do what he wants. It's not the time. Dean should have never been on this mission alone.
Yeah. Like, I don't get why Bobby stayed at home, to be honest. Like, what was the purpose of Bobby staying at home?
Like, I know that he has, like, a call forwarding to, like, it's not just to stay, like, oh, you have to man the phones. Like,
also, like, fuck the phones. We have bigger problems.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, I know he was, like, specifically waiting on the phone call to figure out where the Escalade ended up. Like,
give Dean's cell phone number as the contact and go with Dean.
Right. There's ways around this.
Yeah.
But no, instead.
We need to have a big fight. It's fine. The conversation about how Sam needs more blood that Ruby can provide is like inherently reinforcing the blood equals sex, like, bit, because it's like they're like having a conversation about how Sam's gonna cheat on her.
Yeah.
And they're both fine with it.
Yeah. He's like, that's
inherently uncomfortable.
He's like, no, I'm not talking about that. It's fine. Yeah. And Ruby's like, oh,
yeah, yeah, don't worry about it.
And yeah. It's like kind of like he's only really been drinking Ruby's blood. And so like drinking some other demon's blood is like a line that Sam hasn't crossed yet. Yeah, and true. He's okay with
well,
it.
Except like, for that one demon.
Yeah, it's fine.
Dean's all I'm drinking from, but yes.
Yeah. That was the right that was like
yeah. Right. That's because Ruby wasn't answering his phone calls.
Yes. I would say Sam didn't have control over that. So like
oh, this no, is he for was him. Too fucked up to even yeah. think that through.
So this is him being like, oh yeah, I have a choice now, and that's fine.
Dean finds Sam, obviously, and immediately wants to kill Ruby, because of course he does. And Sam stops him and Dean's just like, I'm gonna kill Ruby, and like Sam's like, no, and Ruby just like runs, which I love. I love that for Ruby. I love that she's like, I could help him, but no. And Dean's like, well, if you're not gonna kill Ruby, then we're gonna have a problem. And he like says that Ruby's manipulating him. You know, we've heard all this before. Sam's like, you're wrong, and Dean's like, you're lying to yourself. Like, I just want you to be okay, and you would want me to be okay. And Sam, like, it's so funny because like Sam is like, they're having a fight and they're both being really aggressive, but Sam does kind of realize that he was holding a knife still. He like throws it away very casually. And he like tells Dean that they've got a lead on finding Lilith, and like he wants to go, and Dean's like, yeah, I also want to kill Lilith, like let's go, but if Ruby's going, I'm not going. And Sam's like, I can't kill Lilith without Ruby, so he's not okay with that. And Sam's like, well, aren't the angels also bad? And Dean's like, no, not like this. And Sam then like says all the things we've already heard him fight with Dean about, because we already had a hallucination Dean in this episode. But he's like, Dean's not strong enough, and I'm doing what needs to be done. I'm being practical. He does use like the word practical, which is the word that Mary used in his hallucination. Like, he is using his hallucination arguments back to Dean. Sam's like, my whole life I had to listen to you, and you called the shots, and I went along with it, and I trusted you, and I'm just asking that you trust me for once. And I'm like, Sam, you did leave for 4 years. Like, you didn't always, but Dean says no, because Sam doesn't know what he's doing. And then Sam says he does know what he's doing. And Dean says that that's worse, because that means that, like, this isn't just something that Sam's doing. This is something that Sam believes. That's something that Sam is, and that thing is evil. And they're just having a bit of a fight and a bit of a moment about it. And they're like crying, and Sam tells him to say it. And Dean says that Sam's a monster. And then they get into a fist fight. Sam punches Dean, and then Dean hits Sam. And Sam looks terrifying during this fight, by the way. Like, the expression on his face is terrifying. Mm-hmm. Sam starts choking Dean. And, like, just when Dean's on the verge of passing out, he stops. And so it's that Dean doesn't know him, and he never knew him, and he never will, and he goes to leave. And then Dean stops him and says if he walks out that door, he should never come back. And Sam walks out the door anyways.
He does.
Really? And then the episode's over.
Yeah. That's it.
Nothing to unpack in that.
No.
I think we're done.
Yeah. They just need so much therapy.
Yeah.
So much, honestly. And like,
I cannot believe that one of the like most important fights, like, these are two people who possibly could like stop the apocalypse, and part of one of their arguments is being like, stop bossing me around. Like, yeah, that's insane to
what
me.
Little sibling energy that
yeah.
Like, I just like, Sam, baby, this isn't about bossing you around right now.
No,
it's worth putting on the record, I have an older sibling. I know people like people on Twitter assigned me as Sam Cody, but I just gotta tell y'all, I'm an eldest daughter.
Yeah, I'm middle, so I am not either. It doesn't count.
Yeah. But I definitely have multiple times told my oldest sister, you're not my mom. I probably couldn't even count 10 fingers and 10 toes how many times I've told her that. Like
I've been known to be a little bit bossy. It's okay.
All the time.
What's funny though is like, and it makes sense. Like Abby's also bossy. Yeah. And like Sam and Dean are that way as well. Like Dean's like
they're
trying to tell
bossy,
Sam what to do, and Sam's like, I'm gonna tell you what to do. And they they butt
they're
heads.
Not having a discussion about what they should do. They're both screaming at each other about what they should do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Which isn't great. And no communication is really being done.
Oh no.
I thought it was also like interesting that like Sam's reaction when hallucination Dean told him he was a monster was to like cry. Basically, he started crying. He was very upset. And when real Dean did it, he punched him in the face.
Right. He said, I've had enough of that. I've already cried about it once today. What? I'm mad.
I cried
now.
About it enough back there.
I'm mad now.
I did the sad one. This is the mad time.
He like goads Dean into saying Dean was really like, you can see, not to like,
it's painful,
be very on Dean's side, but like Dean is really struggling. Like he knows that this is getting out of hand, and he knows he's doing exactly he knows that he's doing exactly what Bobby told him not to do. And he's like, I can't say it, and Sam's like, go ahead, say it right now out loud.
And Dean's monster. Like, vampire.
As far as, like, the actual, like, obviously I love Demon Blood Sam. I love Sam, and I like bad Sam. Like, I just, like, you know, I just, like, what you shouldn't be doing. But, like, as far as, like, who I think is right, I generally am Team Dean. Like, you shouldn't drink Demon Blood. I think that's a bad plan, but, like, I
just generally
cannot and will not get over, ever in my life, Dean saying to Sam's face, if you walk out that door, don't you ever come back? Because we know that John said something to that effect when Sam left for Stanford.
That to me, that is what crosses the line, not the monster comment.
Oh yeah, I agree. For sure. I actually think the monster comment is very valid, but this, like, John, you never want to repeat something John Winchester said.
No.
Like that's not who you want to be.
Yeah, and Dean knows. It's just, we're gonna have to unpack it later. Like they can't, like, go quoting John Winchester and not having, like, consequences.
I feel like the fact that they don't unpack this immediately is part of their problem. But, like, in Buffy, when Buffy's mom finds out that she's the vampire slayer, her mom says to her, if you walk out of this house, don't you even think about coming back? And then, like, John Winchester is shocked when their kids don't fucking come back.
Right.
Stop threatening your kids like that, because your kids will go.
And they'll be like, you said it, and
you said,
like,
don't come back.
Mean it.
Because because like a child, I mean, Sam is an adult now, but like at the time, like when he left for Stanford, he was a child. Like, I'm sorry, if you're an adult and you tell your child to leave, they're going. Like,
even if your child is technically, like, even if they're an adult, if my mom looked at me in this day, and said, don't you ever come back in this house, I'd be like, okay, I don't know what would have happened for that to happen with
you,
me and my mom.
Like, that becomes, that the onus to fix that is on the person who said, don't come back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and especially on the parent.
I've never recovered from Dean saying that to Sam's face, because obviously Dean knows that John said that. It's been brought up multiple times in front of Dean, and we're also, like, supposed to
I'm pretty
Dean
sure
was
Dean was
there. We don't have any confirmation. That scene doesn't Dean exist. But
it's also just interesting that in the recap, it said there's that scene where he says, you're the one who told me not to come back. You're the one who broke that tie. Like, he says that, and it's in the recap.
They want you to remember. They're like, hey, by the way,
he's quoting John Winchester, like,
which obviously means that that's wrong. Even though, like, weird John apologism happens throughout the show,
it's not right there. Like, it's in that scene from Dead Man's Blood. It's also right in the pilot episode. When Dean when Dean's trying to convince Sam to go with him, and at Stanford, like, Sam's like, Dad told me to stay gone, so I did. Like, don't know what to tell you, but I just, oh man, it's never a good day when you're throwing John Winchester's words back in someone's face.
No,
you cross the line. You had the upper hand. You had You were morally correct on this argument. Like you had the advantage at this argument of being right. Yeah. There was a definitive right and wrong here, and you ruined it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also just want to say that, like, a lot of people talk a lot about Dean being like abusive towards Sam, and Sam did throw the first punch here. I don't think it's ever okay that they're hitting each other, but like, I do just want to say, like, they both do this because they're bad with their words. They do this to each other all the time. It's not just Dean doing it to
they're
Sam.
They're not good communicators.
Yes. No. It does get tiring online. Yeah.
It does. When they get mad, they hit each other often, and that's not okay. But it's not just Dean. It's Sam as well.
Yes. Yeah. I think there are certain ways that Dean gets angry towards Sam at certain points in the show that are like indicative of an anger management problem, but also like Sam has an anger management problem. Like,
absolutely.
They were both raised in a very abusive household, and it's led them both to be very like reactive.
They don't know how to cope with their emotions. They don't know how to channel them in healthy ways, either of them.
Yeah. So. Yeah, like they're doing exactly what John would have done and probably did do to both of them. Well, to Dean especially. Like for sure, growing up, like if John didn't like something Dean said, he hit him for sure. So yeah, I just want to bring that up because it just gets kind of, it gets tiring to see people all the time being like, Dean is horrible, Dean abuses Sam, and Sam's never done anything wrong.
I'm a Sam apologist and like a Sam stan, but yeah, I definitely think like as any conflict in their like relationship is definitely going both ways. And like, some of the things that Dean does to like wield power over Sam are not great, but like, it's not a one way street for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So anything else about this episode you guys want to say?
No, I feel like we talked it out.
All right. Abby, Joe.
Okay. Wait, I was like, kind of on track.
I mean,
I wasn't at first, but I convinced myself of it by the end of my prediction that that's what it, it was about Sam.
Yeah.
Sam was the levy.
Sam was the levy.
Yes. Yeah. In the end, he kind of was, but also I think it's also just like the whole situation. Like it's just like the hell, it like bottomed out. You know?
All hell breaks loose. Yeah. Part three.
They couldn't do part three, of course, so. That'd have been embarrassing.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, Abby Jo. Mm-hmm. Next week is the finale. Next week we'll also be doing, like the...
Almost don't even want to tell her the title of the episode.
I know!
But we will, but I don't want to.
Is that cheating if we didn't?
Yeah. It is.
Well, okay, so... And next week we're going to be doing a live, like our little live watch, which it's not really live, but we'll be recapping it as we watch the episode. Abby Jo's first time. It is called Lucifer Rising. What do you think is going to happen?
Wow, it's really helping me. I think they're going to raise Lucifer.
Really?
Okay.
Not they as in the boys, but they as in the collective they.
Oh, right. Supernatural writers are going to raise Lucifer. Yes. Okay, I see.
I definitely, that's what I think is going to happen in the episode. That's the name of the episode. Of course, that's what's going to happen. But I'll say like things that I think are going to be in the episode. Does that help? Sure. Okay. I think we are going to see Chuck.
Okay.
Possibly. I just remember that at the end of that episode, Zachariah is like, keep writing. Like, you have to keep writing. Because he's like a prophet, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think that we're going to see him or like get something that's alluded to him, having written it or like a part of his story, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't think, I do think,
her face.
Okay. Going back and forth.
Excellent. I do think.
I'm going to say I don't think Sam is going to kill Lilith. But I also do, not also, this is a separate.
You have two theories.
Yeah.
Is that your thing?
So many, yes.
Okay.
The branches are just like all over yes, the place.
Yes, it's a tree. and I think that if he does kill Lilith, it will be like he ingested too much demon blood and he's like forever changed, or like he's gonna be changed. Okay. And he's gonna be like evil. Like, not, I don't think he's gonna be a demon, because I don't think that can really happen while you're like alive. But I don't know. But obviously I know nothing. If, yeah. In case you don't, in case I don't say that enough during my predictions, I know nothing. But the reason I think that he wouldn't is because I really just want him to get, like, I don't know. I want him to, like, get to through get his it. Head that, like, right. it's not mm-hmm. about him 24/7. Sorry. It's just, like, so self-righteous right now.
Yeah.
I want Dean to be the one that, like, kills Lilith, because I want him to be like, oh my god, it wasn't about me.
So you think Sam won't kill Lilith because Dean will kill Lilith? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if that,
okay.
If
Lilith will happens, die, you think? But
I think
one
Lilith
of...
will die.
Okay.
I feel like Lilith
around
has...
a while. It's time, right. You know?
Well, yeah, she's been on the show too long. For Lucifer to rise.
She's a because woman, she was his so first. It's about Wait. Time.
Yeah.
So humans can become demons.
Right. If you remember,
Lilith did. Yeah.
Lilith did. Lucifer yeah. made her.
Yeah. Right. Which is different. Like, I'm sure Lucifer right. tempting humans Lucifer. Was a lot different than
he was a Lucifer. He was an angel. So, like, right. yeah, he probably had special powers that Ruby's blood doesn't have, but maybe
right.
not. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? Do you think Dean is going to find out about Cass letting Sam out? And if so, like, how yeah. do you think he's going to find out? And how do you think he's going to react? Like, will he find out from Cass, or will he find out from somebody else? No. Or
I think maybe from a different angel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think? Okay. Do you think Cass is going to be in the finale?
Yeah.
Okay, like, what do you think that Cass is going to be doing? She's like, yeah, obviously.
Like, duh.
Yeah.
It's the finale, Beth. Of course he is. I don't know.
You think that the boys, one of them, like, the boys, one of them, you think, is going to be killing Lilith?
Yes.
Like, where is Cass in all of this?
I think he's just doing what he's told. He's just vibing with the Lord, you know? No, I don't know yeah. what that is. I'm trying to think.
You think he's helping Dean? Do you think he's helping Sam? Do you think he's,
you know,
doing both?
That is really
Neither?
A great question, because I really don't know. I think maybe he's okay. gonna be helping. I think maybe he's gonna be helping Sam. Mm. And that other angel that I talked about earlier, whoever is gonna out that Castiel's the one that let him out, is mm-hmm. going to, like, try to be helping Dean and try to pit, like, Dean against Sam. Not that they aren't already okay. pitted against each other, but, like, right. pit them against each other, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Right. I'm excited to watch
this. If they didn't just beat the shit out of each other. And then Dean...
Yeah, but they need to be...
Eventually told him, I never want to see your face again.
Against each other, yeah.
But they need to really hate each other.
Right, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I also... think that maybe this is like a test of Castiel's faith to go against Dean.
Mm. Oh, to you help think they're like not you Dean. Don't serve Dean. Yeah,
yes.
Okay, I see.
I think it's like a test.
Okay.
Maybe.
Damn. All right.
It's tough being an angel, right?
You got lots of things.
It is.
Yeah. Damn, what a mess.
I love the predictions portions of the first half of the logic.
But the thing is, I clearly have never thought about a theory for a next episode until you guys ask me what's
right.
the theory.
Right.
And so then I'm like, start from
wow.
scratch.
You're talking it out. You're talking yeah. it out.
I'm like, ooh, yeah. that's a good question. What is the theory?
As if it's a
you don't
surprise.
Ask me every episode.
I like it.
All right. So thank you guys for listening. KJ, thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you
this
for
episode.
Having me. I'm so thrilled to finally be here.
And yeah. we're so glad you're finally here.
Would you like to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, I mean, you can find Supernatural Opinions wherever you're listening to this, all the podcast places. And then I'm either at SPN Opinions KJ or at Supernatural Opinions KJ on most things. We're at SPN Opinions Pod on Twitter. And I'm at Editing KJ on other things for non-supernatural content, if y'all care for that.
And all of that will be in the show notes as well. So
yes.
So you can find us on Twitter or TikTok. We have a Discord that we'd love for you to join. It's the fastest way to talk to us about an episode. You can also email us, raisingperdition@gmail.com. And if you have any negative, hateful comments that you want to tell us, you can send them to lawboy@stanford.edu. Sam takes care of it for us. And you can also send Sam some good messages, because we tend to be hard on him over here at Raising Perdition. So, yeah. You know, give Sam a little pep talk. And yeah, we'll be back next week with the season finale. All right. Yep. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Raising Perdition, a Supernatural Rewatch podcast hosted by Beth, Hannah, and Abby Jo. If you enjoyed this episode, we would appreciate it if you shared it with your friends or anyone else you think would enjoy it. If you have anything kind to say or want to give us your comments on this episode, you can email us at raisingperdition@gmail.com or join our Discord. The details are in our show notes below. You can also find us on Twitter at @RPerditionPod or on TikTok @RaisingPerdition. Thank you for listening.